Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Alan in Kansas. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I had a question regarding Revelation 16:19. Talks about the city divided in three parts, and then the cities of the nations fell. I'm trying to identify correctly the city and the cities, if you would, please. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. The great city is the old Jerusalem that is depicted in the biblical text prior to its destruction. In fact, it tells us in various segments of the book of Revelation that this is the very city where the Lord was crucified. And this city originally was intended to be a light to the world, a city set on a hill, but now is apostate, a woman riding a beast, and therefore a city that is condemned to destruction, a city that will be split into three parts. And by the way, the reason you can say this is if you are familiar with Revelation, you know that this is a virtual recapitulation of Old Testament passages, like in particular the book of Ezekiel. The imagery here in distinctness is drawn from Ezekiel chapter 5, in which God instructs the prophet Ezekiel to stage a drama which portrays the coming destruction of Jerusalem. And in that drama, Ezekiel shaves his head with a sharp sword and carefully divides the hair into three different parts. There's much more that could be said about this, but the point is we should always interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. The great city is Jerusalem. In fact, we know it's Jerusalem because John distinguishes her from the cities of the Gentiles, the cities that fell with her. Again, much more could be said about this. I've written about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to Dave, Bellevue, Nebraska. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just going to ask you, Friday is when Jesus was crucified and he was raised from the dead on a Sunday. But in Matthew 24 there, it says, Pharisees and the scribes were asking for a sign, and Jesus said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth. How can that be if he's crucified on Friday? There's no way there's 3 days and three nights.
Well, in Jewish idiom, any part of a day counted as a day-night unit, and therefore there's no need to literalistically demand that 72 hours are in view. And this is particularly evident in light of Jesus' own contention that he would rise on the third day, not after the third day and night had ended. Not only that, but the Gospels unanimously declare that Jesus died on the day of preparation, that is Friday, the day leading up to the beginning of the Sabbath at sundown. And the Gospel writers demonstrate unanimity regarding the discovery of Jesus' resurrection early on the morning on the day following the Sabbath, that is, Sunday, the first day of the week. And therefore, to suggest, as some have, that Jesus died on Wednesday and rose on Saturday to try to come up with the 72 hours simply leads to a whole lot of confusion.
Yeah, because the God of this age confuses everybody.
Yeah, so again, I mean, there are people that have all kinds of different conjectures in this regard, but the Gospels say, and this is what we should go on, they say he died, He was buried the day leading up to the Sabbath, Friday, and then he rose on the day after the Sabbath, or Sunday. And again, you have to appeal to Jewish idiom. Part of a day counted as a day-night unit, and sometimes it's argued that John 11:9 speaks of 12 hours in a day, therefore 3 days and three nights would equal 72 hours literally. But Jesus is simply using day for a spiritual application and context. He's also referring clearly to hours of daylight, not to some maximum for measuring periods of time.
And it also says that he was already risen before the first day of the week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, on the first day, not after. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. It's like the Sabbath changed from Saturday to Sunday. Jesus said here, you know, it says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is saying yesterday, today, and forever. And he doesn't lie to us. So if he said 3 days and three nights, then I guess in saying that, well, it was only 36 hours, that's a little hard to...
No, there are 3 days involved. You have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I just gave you the context from the biblical text itself. As far as the Sabbath is concerned, what we have here is something that we should always celebrate, and that is the rest we have in Jesus Christ. That rest we have in Jesus Christ is a function of resurrection. So we still work 6 days and celebrate one day in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the emphasis that you have with respect to the Sabbath was continually changing. In Genesis, the Sabbath was a celebration of God's work in creation. After the Exodus, the Sabbath expanded to a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. And then as a result of the resurrection, the emphasis shifted again. It was a celebration of the rest we have through Christ, who delivers us from sin and the grave. And I've said this many times, for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfills the symbol of the Sabbath. I've written about this in various places. Both of those answers, I believe, are answered or dealt with emphatically in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Back to the phone lines, Yvonne listening in Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Hi, Yvonne.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
I have a question. I guess it's like two parts to the question. We were studying at church about black characters in the Bible, and Noah came up, and the emphasis was on his son Ham, which I was wondering why was it Shem and Japheth wouldn't come up. I've heard that archaeologists are saying that Adam and Eve were black.
Well, I mean, this is a matter for anthropology. The Bible really doesn't tell us, and I don't think it really matters whether they had more pigmentation in their skin than I do as a Dutchman. Race is really of no consequence in the Bible other than to run the race. But there are many people who would say that the ancestors of Canaan, the Canaanites, were Caucasian rather than Ethiopians, and therefore the passage has been abused in the past, cannot be used as justification for enslaving blacks. But the reality is the text doesn't really let us know. And I think if you really want to know the answer to this question, as you allude to in the prologue to the question, you have to resort to what you can glean from anthropology.
Okay. So understood that there were studies that actually were saying like the Kush people were black people.
Well, it may be. It's not what I understand from my very cursory study of anthropology in this regard. So I don't know about this, and I don't know that there's any archaeological evidence to that extent. But again, it's not an issue for me. One thing that has been held by geneticists is called the founder principle, that groups became isolated as a result of the confusion of their languages at the Tower of Babel and only drew upon a fraction of the total gene pool. But again, This is a matter that the Bible doesn't deal with, and so we have to find the answer to that in general revelation, either through anthropology or archaeology or some other discipline. I'm going to have to leave it at that because we are coming up to a station break. I want to mention, as we go to break, how important it is for you to stand with the ministry of the Christian Research Institute prayerfully and financially. We rely on your support. Without you doing your part, we cannot do our part. We do what we do because truth matters. I hope you appreciate that. We're never going to be politically correct. We're never going to pander. We're not trying to be popular. We have an audience of one ultimately, and that is the Lord. We'll give an answer to Him for what we have said, what we have communicated. That's why James makes it very clear, let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. Let me know that you're standing with us prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our callers. Esther is next, Modesta, California. Hi, Esther.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller. Hank, I have a question. My daughter passed away about 2 years ago. She was 32 years old. Hmm. She was baptized, and she knew who God was, and she wanted a relationship. She didn't, you know, really was in it for the religion. She wanted a truly a relationship with him. She passed away battling addictions for 10 years.
Hmm.
And I'm just having a really hard time. I mean, I go to church and everything. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower. I believe in God. But sometimes when I get on my knees and pray, it's like, you know, it's like the devil maybe is like saying, no, 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 you know, she's not there or whatever, you know, but I know I'm going to see her again.
Mm.
She's been appearing in my dreams saying, Mom, you'll see me again. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Mm. Be kind because God knows everything. Love one another. So I don't know if these are just signs that that God is revealing through dreams. I don't know. I'm lost.
Oh, Esther, you know, one of the things that you can be so certain of is regardless of dreams, the Bible is so clear. If someone recognizes that they're a sinner and they repent of their sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they are His and He is theirs. They are those who have become living stones in the temple of God that have taken up their cross and followed Him. And they are therefore children of the King. That doesn't mean that those children of the King do not battle depression or disease or discouragement. It doesn't mean that they don't die. It means that they're going to be resurrected in new bodies and live with a resurrected Christ in a restored universe. And so, yes, I mean, we all fall on board, but we don't fall overboard. The one who saves us justifies us, but in the meantime, we have difficulties. I mean, that's part of the curse of this creation. And so I think you can take comfort in the words of the Lord. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He will cross over from death to life eternal. And so if your daughter was a believer, though she struggled with alcoholism or depression or whatever and died,
yeah,
it doesn't mean that she's apart from the Lord. It means that she is indeed with the Lord and looks forward to the time when her soul will return to a body no longer ravaged by disease, but utterly set free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I truly believe that she is in heaven. I truly feel it in my heart because she died around the holidays, around Thanksgiving, and I remember she was in the back room and she was praying with her brother.
Mm.
She was just praying. It was like, wow, I wish I could pray like that. You know, she just, you know, she's saying, Lord, you know I'm a sinner. You know I falter in your steps, but you know me, Lord. You know everything about me.
Mm.
And then a year after, November 18th, she passed away.
Wow.
And it was really hard for me because it's like God brought her back, you know, and it's like I wish I had more time with her, but I know when I see her in eternity, I'm going to have all the time forever, you know, I will be spending more time with her, but I just, can you pray for me because I'm really having, sometimes I just break down and want to give up, but I know that's not the right thing to do.
Let me pray for you right now. Father, thank you for Esther, for the love she has for her daughter. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd be the balm of Gilead in her life, that you would soothe her pain, that you would carry her through the deep and dark places of her life. I pray, Lord, that you would give her the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, I pray that all of us together might look forward and even long for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness, the time where the veil is removed and sacred space will fill our place and we will see our loved ones and most of all be able to touch our blessed Lord. Father, thank you for the reality of resurrection. We don't grieve like the rest of those who have no hope. No, we know that Jesus died and rose again, and so we know that God will bring back with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Father, again, we pray that you will give Esther peace in the midst of life's storms. We recognize that you don't give us a panacea, but you do give us peace. Give her the peace that passes all understanding. Again, we pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much. And I've been listening to your program. It seems like not too long after she passed away, my son goes, "Hey, have you ever heard about Hank Hanegraaff?" I go, "No." He goes, "Mom, you got to listen to him." And ever since, I've been listening to you, and you've been a really, really big blessing in my life. Mm. Thank you, Hank. Thank you.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you for calling. And I hope the blessing for you was a blessing for many others listening in. God bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jessie next. She's listening in Bell Gardens, California. Hi, Jessie.
Hi. My question is about the Zionists in Israel. I have looked at some videos on the internet and about how the Zakazi Jews were trucked in 1917 by the Bilderberg, by the Bilderbergs, and then they, you know, started the Federal Reserve, and then now they want a one world government, one world control, and they're doing all sorts of awful things. But my question is I know you're not a Zionist. I used to be well, I'm not a strong Zionist anymore, but do you think that they are Satanists?
No, I think unfortunately we're buying into all kinds of conspiracy theories, and these are theories that you simply can't falsify, and I think they don't have a place within a Christian context. What we can say from a Christian perspective is that there is no such thing in the ultimate sense as a Jew and a Gentile. The reality is in Christ we are one. And that's the mystery of the gospel. The two have become one. So rightly dividing the word of truth reveals that if you are the seed of Abraham, you are an heir according to the promise. And that is true whether you're Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. And the reason is Bible clearly points out that Jesus is that one seed of Abraham, and therefore, if we are in Christ, we are heirs according to the promise. The remnant is not chosen on the basis of race, but rather on the basis of relationship to the resurrected Redeemer. And so, if we're clothed with Jesus Christ, men, women, and children in every age and from every tongue and tribe and nation form one and only one covenant community that's beautifully symbolized in the book of Romans as one cultivated olive tree. Jesus is the one genuine seed of Abraham, and again, all clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community connected by the cross. If you belong to Christ, says Paul, you're Abraham's seed, you're an heir according to the promise. That's the bottom line.
Right. I understand that, but okay, so Israel is existing right now, and it came into existence by the Bilderbergs, and they call themselves Jews, but you know, the Bilderbergs, I guess.
Well, I don't think that's true, though. One of the things that might be helpful to you, and I can either send this to you or get my book, The Apocalypse Code, what I do in that book is I lay out how Zionism originated, first with Christian Zionism and then Zionism proper, how it originated, what the theological perspective was, the genesis. But I don't think that it's really significant. In fact, I think it's counterproductive to come up with conspiracy theories and the formation of a one-world government and a one-world currency and all of this. There's no basis for that in the scripture. In fact, the problem is people are taking scriptural passages and instead of interpreting them in light of scripture, they're interpreting passages, particularly in the book of Revelation, in light of the newspaper, and they're performing a this-is-that fallacy and then compounding the problem by resorting to conspiracy theories. It's your support, prayerfully and financially, that keeps these Bible Answer Man broadcasts on the air. So again, I ask you to partner with me to help more people find truth. You can visit equip.org on the web, or you can call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift of ministry support today. I also want to say to those who joined the Bible Answer Man support team, thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with me consistently. The way in which you can join the Bible Answer Man support team is to simply go to the web at equip.org. You'll find all the information there. Of course, a simple way as well is to simply pick up the telephone and give us a call. Resource consultants are standing by. The number to dial, 888-7000-CRI. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.